Today is Saturday, the 11th of February 2023, and we are all gathered here for the 69th session on mindfulness for beginners. And on behalf of all of us attending through Zoom and the Facebook live stream, I would like to welcome with much respect Venerable Bante Homagama Dhamma Kusala Thero, who is representing Nisaranamanaya Forest Monastery, to today's session. And I would also like to welcome all those of you who are attending the session through the Zoom session and also through the Facebook live stream session into today's program. With that, a slight introduction on the program schedule. We will go into in-session mindfulness guided by Venerable Bante. Then we will follow up with the question and answer session. And then we will move on to the talk on mindfulness. And you have the chance to raise verbal questions during the question and answer session after the written reports have been presented to Bante. So also, there could be beginners in the today's program, and I would like to welcome all of them. If today is your first session, welcome to the program for the first time. And with that, I would like to invite Bante to commence the in-session mindfulness session, mindfulness activity for today's session, and commence the program proceedings. Over to Bante, much merits.
Good day, everybody. So I think initially we can take some time to practice mindfulness. So today I thought of doing an activity which is very much related to meditation, or it's very much related to the mindfulness practice. For this, you may adjust your seat. Make sure that you are comfortable. Once you have that comfort, you may close your eyes and be aware. You are seated comfortably and you have your eyes closed. As the next step, direct your attention towards the body. Here we are doing two things. First one is we are directing our attention . Then we are noticing what we feel. You may feel certain details, certain sensations of your body. Some of you might notice the breath going in and out, maybe as a sensation at your nostrils. Or maybe as a movement of your stomach or chest. Here we are doing two things once more. We are directing our attention towards the body. Then as the second step, we are noticing the details, the sensations maybe you notice the difference between in-breath versus the out-breath. Maybe you notice the difference in temperature. Or maybe you notice some other bodily sensation. Now try and direct your attention towards some other sensation in your body. Not the original sensation that we were observing, but some other sensation. When you direct your attention towards that, then you start to feel the details of that second sensation. Now let's direct our attention towards the surrounding sounds. Then as the second step, you start to notice the details of them. Now, as the final part of today's activity, let's allow our mind to flow naturally. Now, here you are removing that directing part. You allow it to flow naturally, and whatever comes into your field of awareness, you notice the details of them. We don't have a specific object of attention. Instead, you allow the mind to flow in its natural rhythm and you just notice whatever comes into your field of awareness. Although you don't direct your mind, you still notice the details of the objects that are coming into your field of awareness. It may be bodily sensations, it may be surrounding sounds, it may be thoughts, memories, emotions. Now you can open your eyes again. Okay, everyone. So that's the activity for today. Now these things that we try to practice, we will discuss more details of them during the talk today. Just have an idea. Now we try to direct our attention towards something. Once it is directed, we start to notice the details of it. For example, if you direct your attention towards the breath, you start to notice the difference between in-breath versus the out-breath, or the temperature differences. So these are two different acts. First, we are directing toward the attention towards something. As the second step, we start to notice the details of it. So with that, I think we can move forward, Namad.
All right. Thank you very much, Merit Bhante, for that exercise. Next, we will move on to the question and answer session, and I would like to invite Sonali to commence the session. Over to Sonali. Thank you.
Sarai Bhante. Thank you, Namantha. We have received two reports and a question. I will start with the first report. It's daily mindfulness. Although no formal sitting meditation in the last week, I was supporting daughter during the delivery of his first baby. I had contemplated before the event the possible emotions, but I was happy, mind was calm during the event and after. Recognizing and contemplating Jati Jara, Vedya, and looking after daughter and granddaughter Metta, Karuna continued. Also contemplating elements during taking care of baby, Uddangama, Addogama, and Vata Apo when urinating, and Ahara needed to grow, constant changing in the baby, Viparinama, reminding that it is Nama and Rupa, Anatta, when no control of pain and discomfort, not sitting as fast as my daughter would like, and associated Dukkha and Vedana, changing of Sukha and Dukkha and vice versa. Always aware, change is inevitable. Mind has continued to be calm and settled, and often went to breath during the days. Also noted the acceptance of universal difficulties for new parents without making them mine. Gratitude for being present to help the young parents and grandchild. Sitting meditation. After a week of no formal sitting meditation, sat for 1 hour for the first time uninterrupted. Had shorter sessions in the last few days, lasting 15 to 20 minutes. Watch breath shorter, cooler in breath and warmer, longer out breaths, more prominent on one side. Breath became shorter and more equal. Noises heard, not distracting. Exit once when mind watched and start and breaking of the noise of what sounded like a reversing vehicle. The main sound fading also noted. Mind spontaneously returned to breath. Few thoughts came with short proliferation again. Mind going back to breath. Sat for 45 minutes, eyes open, but decided to stay an extra 15 minutes. Adjusted posture mindfully, noting the discomfort in leg. Mind continued watching breath after 6 minutes, eyes opened again. Closed eyes, mind back to breath, which was subtle and stayed so still, till the alarm went off. Walking meditation. When going for a walk, noted mind trying to decide which path to take and pavement or more muddy path in the woods. Started on pavement and decided then to walk back through the woods. Noted the placing and lifting of each foot and then emptiness with each lift and arising when placing each foot. noted how the mind went from noting the arising in one foot and after a little while moving the other foot. Occasional thoughts arose when only one proliferation, with only one proliferation, but mind went very fast back to the feet. Noted the hardness of pavement, softer road, the uneven surface at times. Observed the mind, noting the beginning and end of each of these. Going to the woods, noted the varying textures, softer grass, harder dried mud, softer boggy wet areas, and sounds of feet on wet mud, start and finish, and the rustling of dried leaves, still watched, placing, lifting, majority of the walk. Observed the duality of the mind, the likes, the dislikes arising. At one point, noted irritation when dog walker was blocking the path with the lead. Immediately caught the thought and watched it pass before proliferation. With much gratitude to Panthe and the organizers. Apologies of my pronunciation of some of the words, Pali words, Panthe and everyone else. That's the end of report.
Okay, thank you for presenting. You don't have to worry about the pronunciation. Even I am having trouble sometimes, right? So now when we hear your experience, we have to definitely talk about the difference between concepts versus the reality. Now, these are concepts. This is the thinking mind. Of course, they are helping towards the practice. It's the knowledge that you take from textbooks about the practice, and they encourage you towards the practice. They encourage you to do it more and more. So in a way, at a certain stage, it is helping. These things are helping, these concepts are helping. But when we really start practicing, we have to make sure that we are not encouraging these concepts too much. If you are a non-practitioner, of course, this is the only hope. This is the only option. But if when you start practicing, you don't have to encourage the thinking mind so much. Although the mind is thinking about the practice, it is still the thinking mind. It is still the concepts that are working. Now you try to encourage the reality more and more and allow the concepts to fade away gradually. When you observe the reality, when it comes to the second part of your report, you can clearly see when you walk, you feel the ground. You feel the texture of the ground. Those things that you notice, it's direct reality that you're experiencing. When you observe your body, you feel the breath, ingoing versus outgoing. That experience is direct experience, right? Now, you have come to experience that direct experience through the concepts, through the guidance towards the practice. So in a way, initially that helped. But when you started to your practice properly, then you have to gradually let go of these concepts. Not encourage them so much, right? Allow them to fade away gradually. So that's important. You have to learn that part. Otherwise, we are always confusing our practice. In a way, you are practicing. In some other way, you are encouraging the thinking mind. So you have to make sure when we move forward, when we spend more and more hours with the practice, we have to know, we have to be clear which parts we should be encouraging. We are encouraging the reality more and more, and we allow this thinking mind, we allow these concepts to fade away gradually. In a way, in your mind, you are not encouraging it so much. That's the idea of the practice. That's the gradual process that will allow you to move forward. That'll allow you to mature in your practice. Of course, at times, again, you can recall these things. Let's say you are hopeless, you are having too much trouble dealing with your thoughts, emotions. Then, of course, these type of thinking, these type of concepts might help. But when you are comfortable with the practice, when you are able to be mindful, there is no need to add these things. Instead, you just be with the process. You just accept that simplicity in the present moment. And when you accept that simplicity, all these concepts are there. All these textbook Dhamma is there when you accept that simplicity. For example, in your report, you mentioned that when you walk, you feel the ground. This is the texture of the ground. When you sit, you feel the breath. This is the texture of the breath. This is the sensation of the breath. So when you say that, when you give those details, all these words that you mentioned, all the textbook knowledge is there. Of course, you can't figure out the wording, but that profound practice is there. Profound Dhamma is there. So that's how we are encouraging the practice more and more. We encourage the direct experience and we allow the thinking mind to fade away. So that's what I have to say. Try to identify the difference between these two. At a certain stage, these concepts help. They encourage you to practice more and more. But once you started your practice, once you mature in your practice, you have to allow these things to fade away while appreciating, while embracing the direct experience more and more. So that's the idea I want to give.
Thank you, Bhante. I will move on to the second one. It is actually a question we have received via the Facebook live stream last week. The question says, I practice sitting and walking meditation regularly. In meditating, I acknowledge the thoughts that came in and go back to concentrating on breath. How can I reduce my mind going away from breath? Appreciate your advice. That is question one thing.
Sonali, can you repeat that one again?
So it says, I practice sitting, walking, meditation regularly. In meditating, I acknowledge the thoughts that came in and go back to concentrating on breath. How can I reduce my mind going away from the breath? That is the question, Bhante.
Okay, so when you start your meditation, you start to feel the thoughts. You start to feel how much your mind is distracted. But you have to understand, it's a good thing that you are noticing these things. It has been there for a long time, but now only you start to notice. You start to notice that it's difficult to keep your mind with the breath. You start to notice it is difficult to observe few breath cycles, right? So that's a good observation. That's a valuable observation. With that observation, gradually, you develop the ability to be more and more present. Among these difficulties, among these hindrances, you have to make sure that you are practicing mindfulness. If you allow these things, let's say if you go somewhere without sound, without thoughts, then you think that you can be mindful. That's not how it works. You have to face the reality. You have to deal with your own mind. We can't magically ask them to disappear. We can't do that. That's not how it works. So gradually, you are practicing mindfulness. You practice trying to be more and more present among these difficulties, among these troubles, among these hindrances. That's how you have to practice. So when you are able to notice your breath. Just appreciate that part. At least I'm able to notice a single breath cycle. So that's a good starting point. Try to make it 2. Try to make it 3. Gradually, day by day, you try to be more and more present. Even let's say when you experience thoughts, when you experience your mind is all over the place, that too is mindfulness. You know that you are thinking. Till this day, you haven't noticed that. You were lost in the thinking process. Now you know that you are thinking. You know that your mind is all over the place. Till this day, you haven't noticed it. Now you are noticing that your mind is not in a place. It's all over the place. There is utter chaos in your mind. That observation is the valuable part. With that observation, of course, we try to be present. We try to be with our breath more and more. That's the second part. But initially, we know that our mind is distracted. We know that our mind is full of thoughts. That very knowing is precious. So that's the idea. That's the idea. This is the very process. You can't really magically ask these thoughts, emotions to disappear. That won't happen. Gradually, you develop this skill to be mindful among these thoughts, among these difficulties. Gradually, you develop the skill to observe more and more breath cycles among these troubles. So that's how we are going to move forward. Spend more and more time with it, and you will figure this out for yourself.
Thank you, Bhante. And thank you for that listener from via Facebook live streaming. We have another one. It is more of an experience. I'll start with the last one. I had a strong feeling of anger come over me towards thinking of an interaction that happened in the past between myself and another person. I wrote out a text message, but remembered what Bhante said about responding instead of reacting. I deleted the text message and breathed a few times, then went outside to sit very mindfully. In a few minutes, the feeling of anger disappeared. I observed the feeling of aversion arising and then leaving my body. I was aware of birds chirping and the wind against my face. I closed my eyes and focused on breath again. Even though I couldn't sit for more than a few minutes outside, I was happy I managed to stop myself from reacting in anger. That's the end of it, Bhante.
Okay, so that's a good experience. Thank you for sharing. Now, sometimes, although we try to control, it is difficult. Sometimes without even knowing, you even hit the send message and it's done, right? When it is done, it's going into a different level. Then that person might respond or react to your text message, right? So initially, if you can take some time, if you can allow your mind to settle for a while, then that's a valuable life skill. That's why we are saying that it's a superpower to know that you're angry. It's a superpower to know that you are thinking. That very superpower we are acquiring little by little. Sometimes we fail. That is fine when you have to practice again and again. And try to include at least like 15-20 minutes of formal practice in your day. Maybe 20 minutes of mindful sitting daily as a part of your schedule. Probably early in the morning or before bed, you can pick your own time. And try to maintain that level of practice, 20 minutes of sitting. It's not too difficult. I don't think it's too much to ask. Right. So with that sitting practice, gradually you try to develop this skill. Gradually, you try to develop the ability to observe these thoughts, emotions, without getting caught. Time to time, we fail. Time to time, we accept our faults. That's fine. You don't have to worry about over the past. Instead, you take it as another experience and you learn something. You learn something. And again, tomorrow, it's a new day. It's a fresh day. Again, you can start. Right? So that way, gradually, we are trying to respond more and more rather to react. Although I am preaching, sometimes I too make such mistakes. And when that mistake is done, it is really difficult to correct it. You have to spend so many hours trying to correct it. But if you can behave yourself just a little bit, just take a breath, just take a break, go for a walk, have a cup of coffee, and try to allow your mind to recover from these emotional states, from these thoughts. With time, of course, it will recover. But that loving that time is so difficult when you are emotional. That's the issue. So that's why we are gradually facing this talent. We are gradually facing this difficulty. It's not easy. Little by little, we are developing. So formal practice is very important, a vital part. If you at least have 20 minutes of sitting in your day, you can't really feel the direct result of that sitting experience. But later, with time, with few weeks, within few months, you realize this sitting helps a lot. It helps you to do these things much more easily. It reduces the energy of the thoughts, emotions. So that's the process. That's the gradual process. So little by little, we are practicing. We have to allow our time. We have to be compassionate towards ourselves. And with time, you realize that energy of these thoughts, emotions are reducing. Due to the practice, they lose their energy. And it becomes more and more easier for you to deal with these thoughts, emotions. Right? So initially, these are tricks that we can use. But it doesn't mean that we are suppressing our emotions. That's another way to suffer. A pain-seeking behavior. If you keep suppressing your emotions, thoughts, for some time, then you create utter chaos in your mind. You suffer internally. So in a way, it's good to release these thoughts, emotions. In a way, it's good to respond. Reacting is not so good. We can respond in a wise manner. We can tell the related people in a wise manner. If you keep suppressing them, then with time, you might create more trouble. We call it a pain-seeking behavior because you keep suppressing. You keep creating chaos in your mind. That's not the way. We are going towards some kind of a lasting peace. So you have to support that process. You have to observe your mind, not in a temporary short period, but long term. Are you directing your mind towards a lasting peace? Do you feel incremental levels of peace? That's a question that you have to ask. If you feel it, then of course the practice is working. If you don't feel it, then we have to again see whether we are practicing properly. I'm not talking about a short period, not within a day or two, not within a hour or two, but in the long run, are we directing towards a lasting peace? Do we feel incremental levels of peace within our mind. So continue like that. I encourage you to spend more and more time on the formal meditation as mindful sitting and walking.
Thank you, Bhante. That is the end of reports, but we can now open for any questions that anyone has of what we discussed or your experiences during the meditation session earlier today. If anyone has a question, please unmute yourself and we'll let you ask the question. We've got one hand raised already. Chamari, would you like to unmute and ask your question?
Thank you, Sonali. Avasarai Bhante, I was late in sending my report this morning. I think it was just half an hour before the session started. I'm wondering whether it's okay to read it out.
That's fine, you can read it.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, thank you. So let me actually find it. So it's mindful walking, 30 minutes, walked on wooden floor early in the morning. Room was very cold and had many layers of clothing. Attention naturally moved to the sensations of moving feet. Low temperature was clearly noted underfoot. Mind was aware when thoughts arrived and they passed away soon after. This happened from time to time, and each time the attention moved to the sensations of walking. Noted that the walking had slowed down after a while, then became aware of the sensation of right hip. There was more pressure there with each step and very little pressure noted with the left hip. Noted the sensation of right foot against the floor as more prominent compared with the left foot. Noted the sense of peace in the mind at the end of walking. Mindfulness during the day. The theme of busyness continued through this week too. However, there were different options that appeared in the mind as to how to face this situation. Having taken 20 minutes to just sit and contemplate, the following data came up. Being in own private practice, how the worldly mind takes over when there are new requests for work from potential clients. This means the fact of already being busy is overlooked and the excitement of new work blinding the mind. Then the mind can get very agitated, not being able to have enough downtime to regulate work-life balance. Then the disappointment of self with self comes up for not being able to clearly say no or enough is enough. Feel that the root causes seem to be the greed in the mind and insecurity and not recognizing own limits. Did this contemplation a couple of other times in the week too. The result so far has been saying no to more work, more income, more stress. Noted the low level fear arising in the mind with each such decision to say no. But the wisdom inside knew this was the more healthy decision. This is still at early stages and it's trial and error at the moment, but feel a bit more calm, peaceful and grounded with saying no to too much work. Learning a lot at the moment about the greed and the associated insecurity in the worldly mind. Dear Bhante, looking forward to your valuable feedback. Much merit to Bhante and the organizers of this program. That's the end, Bhante.
Actually, this experiment, it's a lifelong experiment. Every day, we are improving ourselves. Every day, we are making ourselves a little better, right? So that's what you are doing. So we don't have a time frame. on this experiment. Instead, you gradually do it again and again. You can try various methods, various ways, and try to see. Again and again, you can experiment it with it. Again and again, you inquire into your mind and see what is the reason for this type of a behavior. When you feel friction, of course, you can inquire into you and see what is the reasoning for this friction. When you feel greed, lust, you can inquire into you and see what is the reasoning for this. So this is a lifelong experiment that we are doing. Again and again, sometimes we fail. That's no issue. Again, we start over. Again, we fail, we start over. We learn little by little. We improve ourselves little by little. So that's how you have to do the practice. Sometimes, of course, although you try to find the reasoning, you can't really figure out the reasoning. Let's say you feel friction in your mind, but still, when you inquire, you can't really figure out a reasoning. Again, let's say another day, you inquire, you feel particular reasoning. This is the reason for this friction. You feel like it. Then again, the second day, you observe the same behavior. What is the reasoning? Now you feel something else. So in a way, we are not coming into a conclusion. We keep it open and do this observation again and again. 101 times, we are going to do this observation. We are going to inquire into ourselves again and again. It doesn't matter that you don't come to a conclusion. That's not necessary. So when it comes to this noble experiment, there's no real conclusion. The worldly experiments, usually conclusion is the most important part. You have a method and you do the experiment according to it. Then you have a conclusion. That is the worldly way. And conclusion is the most important part. But when it comes to the noble experiment, we don't really, there's no real urge to come into a conclusion. Instead, we keep it open. Again and again, we do this observation. We adjust, we make certain changes into our lives and see how we adapt into that. You can't really check the efficiency within a day or two. You have to allow, there's a learning curve, of course. When you try something, initially you feel friction. That is natural. Again and again, when you try only, you can figure out whether it works or not. So if you try for a day or two and then fail, then give up, then it's not going to work with anything. So at times we take risk. We try to experiment with it. At times we know that this is no good. We prevent from it. So don't come into conclusions. Instead, keep it open. At times you don't feel like doing anything. At times you feel like doing 101 things. Try with both. Experiment with both. At times your mind is so energetic, you can do so many things. At times your mind is, there's boredom inside and you can't really do anything. You can't even function with your day-to-day things. Right? So that gradual process you have to allow. We don't come into conclusions. Instead, we allow this process to happen. We don't come into a conclusion that less work is good. We don't come into a conclusion that I need more work. Instead, we keep it open. A certain period for a few weeks, you might feel that less work is better. Certain period, you might feel more work is better. So keep it open and try to see how this experiment is helping you, how this noble experiment is helping you. We inquire into us, not to the outside world. We try to figure out the reasoning behind this friction, behind certain emotions, thoughts that we feel. Right. So that way continue. And we are glad to hear that you have practiced like this.
Thank you very much, Bhante. It's really helpful.
Thank you, Chamari. Thank you, Bhante, for the answers. Thank you, Chamari, for reading out your report. We are sorry that we didn't check it on time. If we had missed anything on this week, we would obviously read it the week after. But I think we do check it a few hours before the session, so we may have not included yours. Apologies for that. Anyone else with a question, please raise your hand. I can't see any hands being raised so far. We will allow another few seconds. Yeah, I think it might be safe to move on now. I think that's the end of it. Now, Mantha, it's over to you now.
Thank you, Sonali, and thank you, Bhante, for conducting the Q&A session. Next up, we have the introduction to the guidelines for a beginner to commence mindfulness practice. I will share the screen to showcase the details. Yes, I think you can see my screen there. So there are firstly, there are two videos we would like a beginner to go through to become familiar with the steps in doing the mindful walking and the mindful sitting session. So these videos will give you a good idea of what to observe, what to do and what to look out for in these sessions, two sessions. And then once you have a basic idea of what this is, you can think and allocate a portion of time each day for each session. So we recommend doing the mindful walking first and then moving on to the mindful sitting session. And to allocate equal time periods for each practice. You can start with maybe 10 or 20 minutes for each session, for each type of practice when you are beginning this. And then slowly you can increase the time allocation to up to 1 hour per each session when you become comfortable with the whole process. It may be after a few months that you extend it to 1 hour or as your time and schedules permit. Then the next one would be to send in written reports to the program. When you send in written reports, it gives a way of collecting feedback on your practice. Number one, you receive Bhante's advice. Number two, you get into the habit of putting your practice experience into a written format. And this conversion into written format helps you to understand your practice in a different light, maybe even a deeper light at some time. So with regard to the mindful walking, you can describe what was the primary object of focus and whether there were any disturbances, and what happened when the disturbances cleared, and how you got to know that your focus shifted back to your primary object. So, for example, if you are focusing on the sole of your feet touching the ground, you can mindfulness or attention may slip away into a surrounding noise or a thought, and then it'll revert back into the sole of your feet touching the ground. Then you how did you happen to know this? Or did you happen to quickly understand that your focus shifted back to the sole touching the floor? Is what we would like to write in a report like this. Now, the same thing applies for the mindful sitting session. Most popular objects of focus would be breath moving in and out, the heartbeat or the rhythm of the heartbeat, or the abdomen rising and falling with the breath moving in and out, or any other bodily sensations are also possible objects of attention. And you can describe what happened during the session, especially if it is a longer session. You might see several times that the mind wanders away but returns back. The more and more you practice, the mind or the focus will return back to the primary object and you will be able to witness and state this in this report. The fourth point is about how to the technical way of getting the report through to us. You can either email it to us through to beginnersnv@gmail.com or send that to us through the form link there. All these links will be posted in the Zoom chat soon after I finish this introduction. There's no time limit actually for any of these reports. If you send it to us before the end of the Q&A session, we will present it. I today missed reviewing the email one last time at this during the session. Apologies for missing Chamari's report there. So with that, the fifth point would be that the recordings of past sessions are very valuable. There is a lot of information, insight gathered there from Bhante's advice and the reports and experiences presented in previous sessions. So please go through them when you can and try to gain more momentum using the older sessions as well. So with that, that introduction comes to an end, and I would like to proceed to the next task on our session, which would be the talk on mindfulness from Bhante. And on behalf of all of us, I would like to invite Bhante to commence with the talk for today. Over to Bhante. Much merits.
Thanks, Namanta. So, everybody, I think we can take probably like 15-20 minutes trying to discuss a little bit more about the practice. Now, when we live in this life, when we move around in this world, we experience certain things, right? We experience this world. Some things we figure out they are good. Some things we figure out they are bad. Some experiences are pleasurable. Some experiences are painful. So this way, we keep experiencing the world around us. Now, when we come into the practice of mindfulness, when we try to observe the behavior of our mind, we can really see the very basics of experiencing the world around us. That's what we tried today as the activity. We tried with two things. We experimented with two things which are basics for experiencing the world around us. The first item or the first thing is directing your attention towards something. So it's a thought process in our mind. We direct our attention towards something. So this is called the initial thought. It initiates something. It directs its attention towards something. So this is called the initial thought. And with the initial thought, you direct your mind towards something. And the second part is experiencing that object. That's called discursive thought. That's how you really experience this world. Although you direct your attention towards something, if you don't experience it, then you can't really know what it was. So with this discursive thought, we really experience this world. So this is how our mind works. These are two basic aspects of our mind. And these are two very important things about how we experience the world around us. As a meditator, you should know the difference between these two. And you should know how to exercise these two, right? So that's the very basic guidance towards mindfulness or towards meditation. You know, with these things only, we experience the world around us. So anyway, they are there. The initial thought, that's there. discursive thought that's also there. Whether you meditate or not, it doesn't matter. These qualities are there in your mind. So every day when you function, every day when you talk to people, every day when you do certain things, when you experience certain things, you use these to experience, to feel the world around you. So they are already at work. Right? So what's the difference that we are doing when it comes to the meditation? When it comes to the meditation, we use these two qualities. These qualities that we use to experience the world. These qualities that have been fueling greed in our mind. These qualities that have been fueling anger in our mind. These qualities that have been whirling lust in our mind, we use the same qualities, these two qualities, for meditation as well. So far, these qualities have been used in a destructive way. So far, these qualities have been used to create more and more chaos in our mind. When it comes to the meditation, we use the same qualities, but we use them in a constructive way. We use them in a healthy way. For a beginner, although we don't use these exact words, we have to teach them how to exercise this initial thought and discursive thought. Where to exercise this initial thought and discursive thought. So that's the basic instructions that we give. We tell them, walk in a comfortable manner and direct your attention. Use the initial thought to notice that you are walking. And when you direct your attention, when you use your initial thought, you start to feel that your heel is touching the ground. You start to feel the texture of the ground. So that's discursive thought. That with that discursive thought, you are experiencing the walking body. Now for a beginner, we advise them not to direct their attention much towards the thoughts, emotions, various other things. We tell them, use your body as refuge. Direct your attention towards your body more and more. Not only directing, but also notice what you feel when you direct your attention towards the body. So in a way, we use our body as the refuge when we start our meditation. So this is the basics of meditation, that how to use the initial thought and the discursive thought in a healthy way, in a constructive way. Then while sitting, we'll tell them, sit comfortably and direct your attention towards the seated body. Notice what you feel. When you direct your attention, sometimes you may feel the body posture. The pressure on your back, how the legs are placed, the clothing, you feel those sensations. So that's experiencing that your body is seated. Then sometimes you direct your attention towards the breath and you feel the breath. You feel the in-breath cooler, you feel the out-breath warmer. So that's initial thought versus the discursive thought in action. So we use our attention, we direct our attention and we experience this body more and more. So that is the very basics of meditation. Even during your day-to-day activities, while doing your things, you direct your attention towards the body every now and then. While brushing, instead of the wandering mind, you try to notice that you are brushing. You direct your attention towards that and you feel the movement of your brush. You feel the taste. You feel the smell. You feel the touch. Various things are there. Then while taking a shower, instead of the usual thinking mind, you direct your attention towards the task at hand. Then you feel the water. Then you feel the coolness. Then you feel how the water is running through your body. So these things you notice, you experience with the same thought processes that has created chaos in our mind, that has created destructive behaviors in our mind. But meditation is all about how to use them in a healthy way. So if you know this much, then you are able to exercise it. You are able to exercise it again and again. Every day, you direct your attention towards your body and you experience the details of your body. Every now and then you do this. So it is said that probably within a day, we walk at least like 5 kilometers. That is the average number. Around 5 kilometers we walk daily. That's so many steps. Probably like, I don't know, maybe like 2,500 steps. So can you place at least like 20, 30 steps with awareness while directing your attention towards the steps, then noticing what you feel. Then as long as you are alive, you breathe. So many breaths within a day, right? So when you breathe, try to notice your breath. So in a way, you try to be aware of more and more steps. In a way, you try to be aware of more and more breaths. So this is exercising meditation in your mind. This is how you start. If you know this much, that's enough for you to meditate throughout your day-to-day life. Gradually, you become better and better exercising these qualities in your mind. Not within a day, not within a week, but little by little, within few weeks, within few months, you become better and better exercising these qualities in you. So that's what meditation is all about. So you have to exercise, you have to experience this process within you, and you have to know the difference between the initial thought versus discursive thought. How you are directing your attention towards something and how you feel details of it. Although we can talk, you have to experience for yourself. You have to do the sitting. You have to spend the sitting time. You have to do the walking. Few weeks, if you do, then you start to notice the difference between two. Then you become more and more skillful at how to exercise these things. How to exercise the initial thought and how to exercise the discursive thought. How you direct your mind and how you are experiencing that object, right? So that's how you start. Then with time, when you probably spend some time meditating as walking and sitting, at a certain stage, there is a valuable milestone. Let's say walking, at a certain stage, you feel like that entire walking process becomes one. It feels like you can't really direct your attention towards something, but entire process is there. You feel the entire process. Then let's say sitting meditation, you feel that the difference between the in-breath and the out-breath has disappeared. Gradually, you feel that the breath is no longer there. Now you see what is happening. Now initially we had two parts. Initially we had the direction, and as a result of that direction, we felt the object, probably the feet, probably the breath. That is how we started. But at a certain stage of our meditation, this initial thought fades away. Or this initial thought becomes no longer valuable. Right? When that disappears, you don't direct your mind towards something. In a way, you really can't. You can't direct your mind towards something, but still, you experience certain things. You experience the walking process. You know that the bodily sensations are there, sounds are there, thoughts are there. That entire process you observe. And you observe you are sitting, but you don't really feel the breath. You are sitting for the sake of sitting. So at this point, we called, now you are entering into the flow state. Everything is flowing. You just notice, you just experience that flow. So without the initial thought, still discursive thoughts are at work. You still experience the world, but you don't direct your attention towards something. So majority, they think this is a failure. Majority, they think they have to rediscover the initial thought. But you have to understand this is a valuable stepping stone to the next level of the meditation. Now the importance of initial thought fades away gradually while allowing only discursive thought to function. So that is what we did as the last part of our activity today. We didn't direct our mind towards anything. Instead, we allow it to flow naturally and we try to notice the process. That's more mature level of meditation, but it will come gradually. If you directly go into that practice, then you will come and complain that you are getting so many thoughts, you feel so much anger, delusions, various things you might complain. So initially we are using that initial thought or direction to improve our meditation. With time, naturally, it will go into the flow state. With time, naturally, you notice that initial thought is disappearing. Instead, you feel the discursive thought is there. You still experience the process, but no longer you are directing your attention towards anything. So that's more like the second phase of your meditation. Initially, you start with both, but at a certain milestone, the initial thought disappears. Even within a single sitting, you can feel this change. When you sit, both these functions are there. Initial thought versus the discursive thought, both of them are there, but towards probably like 20-30 minutes of the sitting session, initial thought gradually fades away. Now still you experience the sitting session, but with only discursive thought. You are not directing your attention, but you still experience that you are sitting. You still experience that you are walking. Right? So that's within a single sitting session. You can feel this change happening in the middle. Right? So that's a maturity that we are talking about. Gradually you develop in your practice, you build more and more confidence in your practice, and you can let go of the initial thought. And with time, when you spend more and more hours, one day you feel like that both initial thought and the discursive thought, both of them disappear. Now you are not directing your attention towards something that's not there. In addition, you don't experience what is happening. Only you can reflect back after getting up from the sitting session. You know that you were sitting, but you couldn't reflect anything. Time has passed, probably 40 minutes has passed, and suddenly you realize, during the past 40 minutes, I didn't feel anything. So both the initial thought and the discursive thought, they disappear. You are there. You are utterly the nature that's around you. There's no real self working. You just become a part of the nature. As soon as the self arises, you start thinking what has happened. Where were I? You will create 101 questions in your mind. But again and again, when you experience, then you are able to be with this process. You develop your confidence and you know, although the initial thought is not there, although the discursive thought is not there, you have the confidence. Only after waking up, you realize past 40 minutes, I was there, but I couldn't reflect. You couldn't reflect because these two qualities are not there. Only with these two qualities, you can reflect something. Without them, how can you experience the world? That's what happens. So only after getting up from the sitting session, you know that time has passed, but I didn't feel in the past 40 minutes. Still, you have the confidence. Your mind is not doubting. Your mind is not questioning. You have the confidence that you have been meditating. So these are valuable steps in your meditation. This is how it matures. Although I talk about these things, you can't really force them. They will happen gradually, and one day you will come and say, probably not in these words, you will come and say, now I meditate without the initial thought. And one day you will come and say, now both initial thought and the discursive thought is not there. Still you meditate. You become one with the nature that surrounds you. The self disappears. For a short period, probably like 10, 20, 30 minutes, the self disappears. You become one with the nature. So that experience is also there. Next day you go prepared. Now today I will try and allow both these things to disappear as soon as possible. When you go prepared, what will happen is that they will never disappear. From the start, beginning to the end, they will be there. Thinking mind will be there. Thinking. When will this disappear? When will I have that experience? That is the doubting question in mind that works. When you are not ready, when you are totally unprepared, suddenly you feel these things. So that's the maturity that we are talking about. You can't achieve that within a week. You can't achieve that within a few days. Instead, you have to allow this natural process to mature. No matter how hard you try, it won't mature like that. It's a natural process, like how a tree is growing. You have to fertilize it. You have to put water. You have to keep it in sunlight. That's the maximum that you can do. You trying to figure out more and more ways, it won't work. Do your part. Allow the tree to grow naturally. So do your part for the meditation. Allow it to mature naturally. Allow it to grow naturally. So that's the idea I want to give today. We invite you to meditate and experience these qualities in your mind. Now next time, don't come with this wording and try to see, okay, I noticed the initial thought, okay, I noticed the discursive thought, this is how it was. That's not the way. Instead, come with your simple experience, simple wording. Then we can figure out, although you don't say these complex words, these qualities are there and you have experienced it. So that's the idea. We invite you to experience and figure out it for yourself. Thank you for listening.
Thank you so much, Bhante, for that wonderful, insightful talk on how to proceed further once you go up to a certain stage. As Bhante said, it may take weeks and months to develop certain aspects of being mindful. So until that, you just need to keep on patiently, keep up with your practice, dedicate the right time and effort to that, in that direction, and that's all you need to do. So with that, if anyone has a question on the talk itself, we have 2 or 3 minutes, we can allow time. You can raise a Zoom hand to clarify anything on the talk. Yes, yes, Samantha, you can speak.
Thank you, Namantha. Thank you, Bhante. That was a really interesting explanation, because I've seen in books, always written initial thought, sustained thought, and I never really understood what that really meant. I always, because when I'm putting that into my breath, I thought I'm focusing on the breath. So, but where's the thought, thinking on the breath? So, but today Bhante really clarified that, and it opened my eyes a bit. So basically, my understanding is, I got a bit confused with all the words. So you put your attention, you direct the thought, the initial attention to the breath, and then you stay with the mindfulness, you be mindful. So when you say discursive thought, you're being aware of that object where you directed the mind to, which, say in my case, a breath. So you're just purely observing with pure awareness or mindfulness of the breath and what is happening, whether it's a short breath, long breath, whatever is there in front of you. So without thinking, so you're just purely experiencing the awareness of what's happening. And then Bhante said you reflect afterwards. So say after half an hour of just without thinking on the object, you're being purely awareness of half an hour. Then you reflect. Hopefully the mindfulness would keep in the memory if you had, you know. And then is that what you meant with reflection? So what happened afterwards?
No, whatever you experience in this world, you experience it with these thought processes. When we say thought, it's not about thinking. Instead, you direct your attention. That's two, it's a thought process in your mind. Although you don't feel like the classical way of thinking, it's a thought process. You direct your mind towards something. And once you directed your mind, you experience that object. So this is how you experience the entire world. Whatever that you experience, this is the way. And I try to explain how to use it in meditation. We use the same two qualities to meditation as well. You direct your attention towards the body and you start to feel bodily sensations. So that's how you step into meditation. Use the same two qualities that have been always there. Then when you progress in the meditation, that's a different story. When you progress in the meditation, you realize that at a certain time, the initial thought disappears. At a certain time, both of them disappears. When both of them disappears, you can't really experience the world. As long as they are not there, you don't experience the world. When you get up only, you realize, reflecting back, that I was there sitting, but I couldn't notice these things. the thought processes, these two thought processes were not there, right? So that's a different part. That's maturing into meditation. What I suggest is that try to put this into action and come back with the experience report next time, a reflection report. Then only we can show you the path forward, the way forward.
Thank you, Bantik, for clarifying that. Thank you.
All right. I think we are near time for closure. So I would like to thank the Venerable Bante for taking time out for today's session and spending and putting in the effort for us to understand mindfulness practice in different perspectives and to gather insight for further development. We wish the merit or the good results from this good action to go into Bante's own practice, improve it, and strengthen Bante's own practice as well. Furthermore, I would like to thank the Chief Abbot of the Nisarvana Forest Monastery, Most Venerable Bante Udayiragam Dhammajiva Mahatheru, for insightfully requesting the program to come into actualization at the beginning and supporting the ongoing continuation. Also, I would like to share merits with him so that he can conduct more and more support to the spread of mindfulness over the world. Also, I would like to thank all the organizers who have worked hard to initiate the program and who are working hard still to sustain the program at a high level of quality. And I would like to share the merits with them for their own practices to keep on improving with the power of these merits. Furthermore, I would like to thank all of you who attend the session today and for all of those who attend the sessions continuously for your participation, because you provide the reasoning or the backbone for the program to be implemented every week. So with that, and I would also like to share all the merits with you and wish that your practices improve and sustain into the future with further development. With that, I would like to end the session, and I wish all of you a happy and mindful week ahead. The session next week will also be conducted at the same time, and until that time, we wish you a mindful and happy week ahead and hope that you are able to implement practice sessions and send reports if possible as well. Please join next week. I will end the session now. Thank you so much.